here. There we go. Hey, it's good to be back with you. I'm here all this month. Excited to be here. I flew in late Thursday afternoon from being in Columbus, Ohio, and it's good to be back in Texas. I just want to tell you something. Never eat Mexican food north of like Oklahoma. Okay, it just doesn't work out. Just not a good turnout for anybody. I hope you have had an opportunity to have a vacation. If you haven't, boy, you need to sneak it in. Tomorrow is the Harpers' last hoorah for summer. Tonight, my family's meeting me down in New Brunswick. We're going to have dinner at the Grist Mill. Anybody eating at the Grist Mill? Eating at the Grist Mill tonight. And then we're going to spend all day at Schlitterbahn. So please pray for me. You know, I don't know that my body is a Schlitterbahn body anymore, but excited about that. So my family's coming down, looking forward to seeing them. And, well, they're always around, but, I mean, we're going to get to go our last vacation together. I want to talk with you today about our second sermon in this series about the Holy Spirit. And, boy, you know, I just thank you for those of you who have come up to me and said, you know, I really appreciated that word, and I really have tried doing some of that stuff. I've talked to somebody today, and they said, you know, I just noticed a lady, and she was praying and I felt like she needed some prayer, so I asked her, can I pray for you? And she said, yes, I prayed for her. She starts crying. Isn't that cool? Not saying it was a bad prayer. She started praying because of bad prayer. I saw some of you looking like, wait, no. She was praying, and as she prayed, she felt the Holy Spirit touch this lady's need, and so excited about that. Hey, I want to talk with you today about four things that the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life that you can see in Scripture. But to kind of set it up, when I planted my first church in Phoenix, Arizona, back in 1993, how many of you know that's a long time ago, right? So a long time ago, I inherited a building that would seat 1,000 people. And there were two little ladies in the church when I planted the church. Both of them over 70. We started a small group in our house, and so we kind of grew the small group there. I knocked on 2,500 doors in the community, inviting people to come. Throughout that process, I met some people, got engaged, and I would say to them, now, you need to know our building was Pepto-Bismol pink. Okay, on the front of it, it had a dove. Not like that. Ours looked like a pregnant partridge. Okay, so we had this atrocious building that would seat 1,000 people, and when you drive past it on the road, you could barely see it because it had all these massive shrubs, these big trees. They're bushes that turned into these massive trees. And so we felt like the best place for us to start would be let the community know that we're here. So we're gonna pull out all these massive, there's about 30, 35 of these big, huge shrubs that had turned into trees. So they were overgrown, and they were around the parking lot. And so when you come into the parking lot, it'd scratch your car up, tear your bumper off. And so what I did is I got a bunch of these guys that had been a part of our small group, and I said, hey, let's meet at the church next Saturday. Bring your shovels. I don't know what happened. I think it may be me. Bring all your tools, and we're gonna tear. We're not leaving until every one of these shrubs is gone, right? It's 105 degrees in. What's going on, guys? Can you help me out there? Is it me? Help me out. There you go, Jimmy. Did I tighten it too tight? Thank you. You're awesome. Appreciate that. I get extra attention today. All right. Thank you, Jimmy. Yeah. So it's 105 degrees in Phoenix, and even there's no humidity, it's like a dry heave. It's just really, really hot. And so we work for about an hour. And our hands are bloody, we're sweating, our arms are aching, we're shaking. And we've worked for an hour, and we've not even pulled up one of these shrubs yet. So I get a phone call from a guy who's a part of our small group, and he said, hey, what are you doing? I said, dude, I'm down here at the church. I'm trying to pull up these shrubs. And he goes, hey, did you forget that I have a Ford Super Duty 350 Power Stroke truck? And I said, No, it's a Ford. Why would I remember? I'm a Chevy guy. And I probably said some more things, but he said, hey, I'll be down there in 5 minutes. So 5 minutes later, this guy in a small group, he pulls up in this big, huge, massive dually. And he backs his dually up to the big bush, this tree that we're trying to pull out. And he jumps in the back of his pickup truck and pulls out this big chain, says, wrap the chain around the base of this shrub you've been working on, hook it to my bump, my hitch here, and I'm going to jump in and I'm going to put this thing in drive and I'm just going to pull this thing out. And I'm thinking, oh yeah, it's a Ford. Never going to happen, right? It's a Ford. So he jumps in, pops that thing, and guess what? The tooth fairy couldn't pull a tooth out as easy as he pulled that thing out. And so this whole bush just kind of just pulls out. And I want to let you know, for the first time, I worshiped a Ford. I was like, this is amazing. Where have you been for the past hour? And in the next 45 minutes, I mean, he literally yanked every one of those shrubs out of the parking lot. And you need to know that if he hadn't have shown up, I think I'd still be there right now, pulling up those shrubs. Well, here's the truth of what I understand about our Christian faith. There's just a lot of Christians that are out there, and we've got our little work gloves on, and we're thinking, man, we can do this. We can do this job. It's not that hard. But after a while, we kind of get frustrated. We get hot. We get tired. We get worn out, and we're not getting near as far along in the process as we thought we could. You see, the reality is that God never wants us and never asked us and never called us to live the Christian life in our own strength, doing it our way. No, the Bible makes it very clear, says on the screen, that God has always intended for you and I to live a supernatural life in an ordinary world. That's what he's called us to do, to live in a supernatural world in a very ordinary world. But sadly, many believers, many Christians, we just live ordinary lives, and because we've got our work gloves on. I mean, we're trying to do our own thing. We're trying to do it in our own strength instead of relying on the power of the Holy Spirit that is available to every one of us that are believers. So I want to talk to you this morning out of Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 5. It's kind of our jumping off place. So in this passage of Scripture, Jesus, after his death, burial, and resurrection, he spends 40 days with his disciples. And he's having a conversation with his disciples, and it's recorded in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5. We can read it. It says this. On one occasion, while he was eating with them, his disciples, he gave them this commandment, do not leave Jerusalem, but wait for the what? What is it? Gift. Wait for the gift. Come on. Anybody want a gift? Wait for the gift. I've got a gift for you. I'm going to wait around if you tell me to wait around for the gift. For the Father has promised, which you've heard me talk about, for John baptized in water, but you will be baptized in the Holy Spirit. Let's talk about that word baptized, because what does it mean to be baptized in the Holy Spirit? In the Greek, the word baptized is the Greek word baptizo. It means to immerse. It means to be fully immersed, not sprinkled like a little dabble do you. That's why we practiced, if you were a couple of weeks ago, Connor baptized 5 people, fully immersed them in our baptismal tank out front. Now, here's what you need to know. Clearly, God made it very clear that when we are baptized, when we are immersed, when we're dunked in the Holy Spirit, it says in verse number 8, says this, but you will receive, next slide, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you. So what is that power for? When the Holy Spirit comes upon us, when we're baptized, when we're immersed, when we're dunked in the Holy Spirit, the power is so that you can be my what? Witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. Now, that word power in this passage of Scripture, you'll receive power, it's the word dunamis. Now, you probably know this, but this is where we get the English word dynamite. It actually means that it's a force, it's a miraculous power, it's an explosion of God's power in our life. So what Jesus is doing is saying to his disciples, when you are immersed, once the Holy Spirit comes upon you, once you are dunked, once you are saturated in that, you're going to experience this explosive power in your life that's going to operate in your life on a daily basis. Why? So that you can take my message all the way around the world. Now, when you're reading this, you're thinking, well, why would he need to be telling this to his disciples? I mean, they probably heard this before. Yeah, he's telling them again. Why would he tell them one more time? Well, do you realize who he's talking to? I mean, his disciples were not the sharpest pencils. You know what I mean? They were actually a group of misfits. They were actually a group of people that all the religious leaders of the day had already overlooked. They were the second and third choices. They were the people that none of the other rabbis wanted to bring into their group and be their leader. When you think about the disciples, not only were they misfits, but I can't recall one time, not even one time, when Jesus is looking at his disciples and say, man, your guy's faith just really impresses me. Never, not one time does that happen. What you really see is that Jesus is always saying, hey guys, I'm right here with you. Maybe your faith should increase because I am right here. Why do you always have such little faith? And the ringleader of this group was Peter. You know who Peter is. Peter's the guy that's always sticking his foot into his mouth. In front of all the other disciples, Peter says to Jesus, hey, Jesus, all these other losers, they're going to deny you. But I promise you, I will never deny you. And guess what happens just a couple of days later? Jesus is arrested. And Peter does what? Denies Jesus. How many times? Not once, not twice, but three times. When Jesus is crucified, when Jesus is arrested, all the disciples run and hide. And when Jesus is crucified, every one of the disciples, they completely abandon him and turn away from God. And when he rose from the grave, where do you think you find the disciples? Scripture says they were locked up, hiding in a little bitty room, afraid of the Jewish leaders of the day. When Jesus appears to them, it says he didn't open the door. He came through the door. They were afraid because they thought he was a ghost. He said, look at my hands, look at my side, look at my feet. And they finally realized that it was Jesus. This is the same group that Jesus is having this conversation with. This is the same group that he says, after the Holy Spirit comes upon you, in spite of all of your other behaviors, in spite of all the things that we read about you in Scripture, when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, something's going to change in your life. Because you're going to be baptized, you're going to be immersed, you're going to be dunked. And in that moment, there's going to be an explosive power that activates in your life. And you're going to take my message that I've been preaching to you for 3.5 years all the way around the world. So, fast forward 2,000 years. Today, billions of people on this planet are followers of Christ. How does that happen? Because ordinary people surrendered their life and allowed the Holy Spirit to come into their life and to immerse them and to baptize them, to be dunked by the Holy Spirit. And they experience this explosive power of God flowing in them, but through them to other people around the world. Now, here's what you need to know. Every one of you need to understand this, that the same power that was available to the disciples is available to us as well. So if you're taking notes this morning, here's four things that I want you to know that the Holy Spirit wants to do in and through you today. When does he want to do it? Today. Four things, really simple things, taking notes. Number one, the first thing is this. We've already been talking about it, is the Holy Spirit wants to give you power to do what? Share Christ boldly. To share Christ boldly. That's really the power of the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about this to the church in Corinthians. In Corinthians chapter 2, verse number 3, Paul says, "My message and my preaching, they were not wise and with persuasive words, but with the demonstration of power, so that your faith may not rest in man's wisdom, but in what? But in God's power." And I kind of get what Paul is talking about. I mean, when you look at the internet, of guys preaching on the internet, when I go here to conferences and I hear guys speak, you know, I kind of feel like a hot dog in a steakhouse. You know what I'm talking about? It's kind of like, man, I'm just not near as good as some of these other guys. And it's true. I am who I am. But I will tell you this, I'm a lot better than I was when I first started. Okay? When I first started to preach, I had never preached, and it terrified me to share my faith with people. I mean, I was just like so many people. I was afraid to share my faith because I thought I wasn't good enough. I didn't think I was strong enough. I didn't think that I knew enough. And then in high school, God really got a hold of my life, and I really felt called into ministry. And my youth pastor at the time, he asked me to speak to my peers on a Wednesday night in the youth group. And because I'm a risk taker, I said yes, but everything inside of me was saying, no, that's the stupidest thing. You never want to talk in front of your friends, right? I mean, that's the worst thing in the world to do. So on Sunday morning, before the Wednesday night where I was supposed to speak, a lady in the church, maybe about 30, 35 years old, her name was Della Hogan. She came to me and she said, "Hey, Mike, you know, we're a church about 300, 400 people. She said, I hear you're going to speak to the youth group on Wednesday night." And I said, "Yeah, I'm going to speak. Probably not going to be very good because I've never, ever done it before." And Della looked at me and she said, "Mike, I believe the Holy Spirit has sent me to you today to pray for you. Because I believe the Holy Spirit wants to use you, not so you can just speak, but so that you can speak well." And she said, "Can I pray for you?" And I'm like, "Yes, please pray for me." So this ordinary lady in our church placed her hands on my shoulders and she began to pray for me. Now, I can't explain it. Maybe you have experienced it, maybe you haven't. But I want to let you know that there's something that happens when a person who really loves God with all of their heart places their hands on their shoulders and they begin to pray for you. Something happened in that moment that I can't quantify. I can't explain it. I can't rationalize it away, but I just felt something change. And sometimes when people put their hands on you and pray for you, sometimes you feel something and sometimes you don't. It's not that you feel something or you don't that what matters. It's the fact that the person was being obedient and they chose to pray for you. And that's what happened here. So Della put her hands. I mean, Della was ordinary. Her husband was a dairyman. She had a better handshake than most guys I knew. She was just an ordinary person. No Bible college education. I think she barely graduated in high school. Della put her hands on my shoulders and she began to pray. She said, "Lord, in the name of Jesus, I ask that the Holy Spirit power would rest upon Mike and that when he speaks, that you would help him not just to speak, but would he speak well." And she said, "I pray that you would enable him and that God, that you would give him a platform someday so that he could speak not only to youth groups, but people around the world, literally in front of hundreds and thousands of people. In the name of Jesus, amen." That was it. 2 days later, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday come, and it's time for me to speak to the youth group. And you need to know, I was so nervous, I had diarrhea all day long. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? You ever been that nervous? Come on, really, I'm not the only person, yeah. I mean, man, I didn't have butterflies. I had like eagles flying, not in formation. I mean, they were just going everywhere. And we go through worship time because we had a little worship band, and it was time for my youth pastor to introduce me. So I got up to speak, and my sermon was 3 points. You ready? My very first sermon. You lie, you die, you fry. It's true. Come on, you're laughing at me. That was my very first sermon. You lie, you die, you fry. And so my youth pastor introduced me, and now you know I was nervous because I had to preach that, you know. Like, of all the things you're going to preach about, you're going to preach about that. So my youth pastor introduced me, and it's back in the day when we had, like, corded microphones, you know, like not like this kind, but like had a cord. And I'm so nervous. I remember him giving me the microphone, and I put it up, and I just start, like, wrapping the cord around my arm. I'm just absolutely petrified. And I remember starting to speak, and I remember about 2 minutes into it, just as clear as this, as I'm standing here right now, I remember I just kind of got calm. And I remember there was this moment where there was kind of a boldness, like the tenor and the tone of my voice changed. And I started talking with a boldness, and I really sensed it. Have you ever had those moments where you go, who is this person? You're talking, you're like, I don't know. I've never had this experience before, but there was this boldness in my life, and I remember standing up in front of everyone in the room that I knew, all my peers, and saying, you know, if you're not right with God, you need to just give your life to Christ. And suddenly, without me even asking, we had 120 kids in our youth group, but kids just started coming up and coming to the front and kneeling down and starting praying. It wasn't because you lie, you die, you fry was that great. It really wasn't. It wasn't the points. It wasn't the content. It really wasn't even the content. What it was the power of the Holy Spirit talking to people. And you need to know that the power that I'm talking about this morning is not just relegated to someone like me who feels called into ministry, or people you read about in the Bible, or people you read about in history. The scripture says it's absolutely available to you because God wants to use you. Wherever you are, tomorrow at 9 o'clock, at 10 o'clock, at 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way, as long as you're awake, you need to know that God wants to use you. Because maybe the next time you're in a meeting, you feel this little prompting in your heart, and you feel that maybe you're supposed to bring up the conversation about God. Can I say to you, do it. Don't hesitate. And I know you will feel absolutely scared, and you're going to be thinking, I don't know what I'm doing. What if I botch it? What if I blow it? Can I just encourage you to step out? Step out. You'll never know what's going to happen until you do it. Maybe you just need to ask the person, like she said to me today. I just asked her, can I pray for you? And the moment you ask that person, can I pray for you, you're going to hear yourself saying, what in the world did I just do? I'm the worst public prayer in America. Every time I pray out loud, I stumble over my words. It's just horrible. What you'll discover is that when you step out, the moment that you step out, God is going to begin to work in you and through you. And the most faithful prayer is going to come out of your mouth. And it's not really the issue of how eloquent the prayer is or how biblically accurate the prayer is. It's the fact that you stepped out. And the fact that you will say that prayer, it's going to impact them and it's going to impact you because God is going to respond to that prayer. So please hear me. It's really time for us to stop putting on our own gloves and trying to live life in our own strength. God really wants us to recognize that the power that was available on the disciples to transform our world is actually available to us as well. Because God has not called us to live ordinary, boring lives. God has called us to live supernaturally in a very ordinary world. Here's the second thing that God, the Holy Spirit, wants to do for you. Number two, he wants to give you power when you are weak, like this microphone. Look what it says in Romans chapter 8, verses 26 and 27. He says this, in the same way, the Spirit helps us in our what? Weakness, when you don't know what you ought to pray, for the Holy Spirit himself intercedes through us in wordless groans. In other words, when you come to the end of your strength and you don't know what to do, that's when the Holy Spirit power kicks in your life. Now, let me illustrate it to you this way. My son, Connor, he's 26 years old, 6'3", just a great kid, and he's kind of a fitness dude, as you can tell I am too, right? So he has a chin-up bar attached to his closet door. You've seen these, you know, you hook them up. And so I'm in there one day, and I said, "Hey, Bubba, how many chin-ups can you do?" And he says, "Oh, I can do about 25. And then he asked me, "Hey, Dad, how many chin-ups do you think you can do?" And without thinking, without evaluating, I said, I can do 7, easy. I can do 7. And my son said, "Prove it." So I take my watch off, take my wallet out of my pocket. I'm getting light, you know, I'm leaning out. I'm taking my shoes off. I'm taking my keys out of my pocket. I'm taking everything out. And so I grab the chin-up bar, and I do 1. I'm thinking, I think I got this. So I do 1. I do 2. Things start slowing down. I do 3, and my face is turning red. I can hear myself grunting and groaning. In my brain, I'm thinking, this is the stupidest challenge I've ever done in my life. I start on my 4th one. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. And I'm like thinking, that bar is so far up there, and my chin is so short. And I'm just trying to get my chin over the bar. I finally get my chin over the bar on the 4th one, and there's just like lactic acid running all through my body. And I hear my smart aleck son say, "Hey, Dad, just 3 more." Okay? So I start struggling, and I get through 1 more, and then I'm just thinking there's 2 more, and so I'm just kind of hanging, kind of dead weight for a moment, and I start up on my 5th one, and as I'm starting on my 5th one, what my son does is he kind of grabs my waist, and I'm yanking and pulling as hard as I can, and Connor starts assisting me, and I'm struggling. I'm completely shot. I eke out 5. I eke out 6 with a lot of his help, and then Connor says, "Come on, Dad, just 1 more. You've told me my whole life, you can't quit. Dad, you can't quit. Come on, you can do 1 more." So at this point in time, I'm just dead weight. I mean, I'm surprised I can still hold on to the bar. And I'm just hanging there. And Connor says, "Come on, Dad, 1 more." And I remember telling my muscles to do something, but they didn't do anything. And I'm hanging there, and I start trying to pull up, and then the next thing I realize is that my son is carrying my full weight. And he's helping me get my chin over the bar. Connor, by himself, has lifted me. When I ran out of strength, I had to rely on Connor's power. Can I tell you, I think that's a perfect illustration of what the Holy Spirit wants to do in your life. When you're trying to do it on your own strength and where you are weak, he wants to be your strength. Maybe you're having a hard time with your kids. Maybe you're thinking, "I don't even know how to deal with us." All you've got to do is ask the Lord for wisdom. Maybe you've got a presentation coming up this week and you're saying, "Lord, I don't know how to do this. I don't want to do this. I hate speaking. Every time I speak in public, my voice starts cracking. I get really nervous. My mouth gets as dry as the Sahara Desert. And I freeze up and I panic." Can I just say to you, ask the Holy Spirit and he'll give you strength. Maybe there's a sin in your life that constantly is overwhelming you and overpowering you, and you don't want that to happen, maybe you should stop fighting and putting on your own work gloves, and all you need to do is ask the Holy Spirit to be your strength, to help you in your area of weakness. There's one time in the New Testament, Paul the Apostle was complaining about having this ongoing, he calls it a thorn in his flesh. Nobody really knows what it was, but in this passage of Scripture, Paul says, God, will you just take away this problem? Will you just take away this pain? And he's a spiritual leader. He writes 2/3 of the New Testament. And he says, God, I've been asking you, why don't you take this thing away? Get it out of my life. And look at God's response to Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verse number 9. He says, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you, and my power is actually made perfect. How? How does it say? In your weakness. Paul, when he gets this revelation, look what Paul says next. Therefore, I'm going to boast all the more gladly about my weakness. Why would he boast about his weakness? So that Christ's power may rest on me. For when I am weak, it is only then that I am strong. How is it possible to be weak and in that moment be strong? Because you stop resting in your own strength and you experience the power of the Holy Spirit in your life, and he gets involved. The third thing the Holy Spirit wants to do for you, and I love this one, he wants to give you power to have hope. It's really easy in the world that we live in to lose hope. If you watch the news, you watch television, listen to the radio, it's really easy to lose hope. But listen to what Paul the Apostle says in Romans chapter 15, verse number 13, to the Roman church that was living in a time of complete hopelessness in the world. Here's what Paul says. May the God of what? Hope. Fill you with all joy. Man, I just love each of these words. That he would fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him. And I love this. So that you may overflow with hope. How are you going to overflow with hope? Paul says, by the power of the Spirit, by the Holy Spirit in your life. How does that take place? How do we overflow with the Spirit of God in our life? In fact, what you'll discover is that the Holy Spirit actually wants to fill your life with hope. And he does it because that is who he is. Remember, in John chapter 14, we talked about this last week, Jesus says to his disciples, I pray to the Father, and he's going to give you another helper. We talked about that word is the word paraclete, and he will be with you forever, not just for a little while. Listen, it's one thing to have someone who's going to be with you for a little bit, but Jesus says, I'm going to give you a hope that's going to be with you forever. Doesn't matter what you're going through. And it says on the screen that Greek word for the word helper is the word paraclete. Parakletos. And it means one who is called alongside to assist. Now, my friend with the Ford Super Duty 350 Power Stroke with the dually and the chains, he was a parakletos. He was a helper who came alongside and did what? He gave us hope that we could actually finish the job. He was the helper who restored our hope. Listen, it doesn't really matter what we're going through in life. No matter how difficult it may be, no matter how challenging it may be, the Bible says that the Holy Spirit wants to be like that Ford 350 Power Stroke that comes into our life that helps us. The good news is he's going to be with us forever. He's not going to leave us alone. And so today when you leave this church service, you may go, well, I feel the Holy Spirit here. You need to know that the moment you leave the room, The Bible says the Holy Spirit will be with you tomorrow because it's his role. Now, translators in the Hebrew to English had a hard time with this word parakletos. In some of the translations, in the CSB, the Contemporary Study Bible, it's translated counselor. That word parakletos means counselor. In the NIV, the New International Version, that word is translated an advocate, like an attorney, someone who fights for you. In the ESV, the English Standard Version, it's translated helper. In the King James, it's translated comforter. Now, I was talking to a friend of mine the other day about the comforter, and he says, "You mean that fluffy thing on your bed?" And I started thinking, you know what? It really does apply. You see, when I got married, my wife wanted a comforter on our bed. And now you need to know that I was a bona fide bachelor, right? I just had a couple of sheets and blankets, really nothing else. But my wife, when I got married, that all changed. Things had to match and coordinate and foo-foo and all kinds of stuff. And so my wife says, "Mike, we need a comforter on our bed, and it needs to have that frilly thing around the bottom, and it needs to match. We need these big, fluffy pillows on our bed, and we need a comforter that's warm and soft." So we go and we buy this really expensive, pretty comforter frilly thing. Put it on the bed. The first night, my wife takes those big fluffy pillows. She takes them off of the bed and she puts them beside the bed in the corner. And then she gets the comforter and she folds it down to the end of the bed. Now, this is the first night that we have the comforter. And I've only been married a few months, and so I make this critical mistake, and I ask her, "Why are we doing this?" And my wife said to me, "Mike, the comforter is not for use, it's for looks." You know what I'm talking about. Did you know that in my house there are some towels that I just cannot use? They're in the bathroom, they're hanging up, but I cannot use those things. You come to my house, you can use those towels, but I can't. In my house, there's plates and there's dishes that I never get to use. But if you come to our house, you can use them because they are for looks, but they're not for use. I just got to ask the question. I wonder how many people have the comforter in their life, the Holy Spirit, but he's there just for looks. He's there for show. He's not for use. Jesus says, "I want the Holy Spirit to come upon you, not just for looks, because when he comes upon you, you're going to experience this explosive power in your life that will give you hope in hopeless situations." The fourth one, and I close. My time's up. The Holy Spirit wants to come into your life so you can experience the fullness of the Godhead. The fullness of the Godhead. What do I mean by that? I think it's a tragedy that so many Christians are walking around doing Christian life with their gloves on. They get frustrated, they get worn out, they get discouraged, they get overheated, they get beat up, they get bloody, their arms are shaking. And don't get me wrong, they are all into Jesus. I mean, they love Jesus with their whole heart. And as best as they understand, they're absolutely cool with God the Father. But they're quite content experiencing just a portion of the Godhead. They think 2 out of 3 ain't bad. But here's the problem. You're not experiencing all that God has for you as a believer. You're walking through life without this explosive power of the one who is called to come alongside of you to help. And I want to tell you something that I think is a deeply, deeply, deeply spiritual truth. It says this on the screen. The Holy Spirit is a gentleman. Therefore, he will never force himself upon you. Even if you need him, even if you're struggling, even if you are desperate in a situation, he will wait for you to invite him in to the circumstance. But he is the helper. He is the one who comes alongside. But you have to ask him to be engaged in your life. You have to say, Holy Spirit, would you help me with this? And when we do, the scripture says that he will come along inside of our life and he will undergird us with this supernatural power, this explosive power of God in our life. Why? Because the last thing God wants for you is to walk in this world with your own strength. Doing it with your own might, doing it with your own power. And Jesus said to his disciples, you guys just need to wait a while. You need to wait. Because I have a gift for you that you have no idea how good it is. Last week we said if we had to make a choice between would we have Jesus in our life each and every day walking in the flesh with us, or would we rather have the Holy Spirit with us, 99 out of 100 would say I'd rather have Jesus. But Jesus said to his disciples, no, it's actually better for you that I go away so that I can send a comforter who will be with you all day, every day. And he will give you an explosive infusion of hope, an explosive infusion of faith, an explosive infusion of the ability to be a witness in my life, in your life. And he'll come alongside of you when you're in trouble. So I was thinking today, and praying last night in the hotel as I finished putting these notes together. And I was thinking, you know, what is the best way for us to experience the Holy Spirit here when it's just us? My spiritual mentor's name is Dr. Lee. He says, when it's just us chickens, you know, it's just us. Because what I found, if you won't do something when it's just us, often we're not really bold enough to do it out there. So what I thought I would ask this morning is I'd like to ask a couple of questions, and then I want us to do what Della Hogan did for me. If you lift your hand, you're just simply saying, I would like someone to pray with me about a need. It could be finances, it could be health, it could be a job, it could be whatever. And we just want to come alongside, and we want to come alongside of you, and we want to put our hands on your shoulders, and I just want us to pray. I just want us to pray. Now, here's what I know. Nobody likes to practice, right? When I played football in high school, I played baseball my freshman year in college. You know what you want? You want to be in football 20 yards out, fourth down, fourth quarter, and about 15 seconds left. That's what every boy, every girl who plays football, that's what we do in the backyard when we're talking about. And Harper's underneath center. It's fourth down. The whole game is on the line. He steps back. The receiver's open. He throws a touchdown pass. We all want that. But can I tell you how that happens? In practice. You practice the route. You practice throwing. So this morning, what I'd like for us to do is I'd like for us just to have about 2 minutes of just practice. Practice about what? Number one, practice praying for someone else. Number two, practice praying out loud. I know it's going to make you nervous. I know your mouth is going to go dry. I know you, as soon as you put your hand on someone's shoulder, your mind is going to go blank. Like, what am I supposed to do? How am I supposed to start? I know that. But if you will give the Holy Spirit something to work with, he will begin to work in your life. Is that fair? So I know you're looking at me like, oh, are you serious? If I'd known we were going to do this, I wouldn't have come today. I'd have watched it online. Listen, got to get the Holy Spirit something to work with. You got to show up. You've got to do your part, and if we will do our part, then God will do supernatural things in our life. So here's what I'd like to know. If you're here and you would say, man, I've just got something that I've been trying to get done in my own strength. I've been putting my own gloves on. I've been working on this. I've been conniving. I've been pushing. I've been networking. I've been doing all the things that I know how to do, but it's just not getting anywhere. And I would just like to ask the Holy Spirit to come in and kind of help me in this area. If that's you, would you just lift your hand with me real quick? Yeah, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Come on. Now, see, was that hard? You guys have actually got the easiest job. That's why you lifted your hand. Okay? Here's what I want us to do. If there's somebody around you with their hand up, okay, I would like for you to start moving. Just go find somebody. You could be a first-time guest here. You could have been here 100 years. I don't care. Just go find somebody. Put their hand on their shoulder, and I just want you to take 10 seconds. Why don't you ask them what you want them? Come on, pray for Anatoly over here, back here, a couple of people. Okay, I want you to ask them, what do you want me to pray with you about so you're not praying in the dark, right? Don't pray in the dark. Ask them what you want them to pray with you about, and then let's pray. Anybody? Anybody doesn't have their hand? Everybody got their hand raised? Got somebody? Everybody good? No, up here. Can I have a couple? Somebody come up here and help me? Come on, brother, you can come up here. Gary, you want to come over and help her? Help him over here? Okay. We got somebody back here. Are you? You need somebody to pray with you? Yeah, there you go. Can somebody help him pray with the lady back here in the corner? Somebody, another lady? All right. All right. Ask them what they need help prayer for about, and then let's just pray. Hey, just pray like you'd want somebody to pray for you, okay? Let's do it. Lord, we love you today. God, I thank you for these people that have lifted their hand today. And God, for our church family that has activated, they have stepped out, the men, the women, and maybe this is the first time they've ever done it. God, I pray that in this moment that they would feel this activation, this Holy Spirit explosive power of faith rise up in their heart. And Lord, God, it doesn't matter how eloquent the prayer is. It doesn't matter how perfect it is. Lord, we recognize that you're just looking for us to be a vessel. And so we pray and we place our hands upon our brothers and sisters, and we ask that you would do a work in their life. God, meet the need. We ask that the Holy Spirit would begin to flow into their life, and you would begin to work on the area that they need. And we ask this in your precious, mighty name. And everybody said, amen and amen. See, that wasn't hard. Wasn't hard. Thank you for doing that. I know you felt a little awkward. And if you're a first-time guest, we don't do this every Sunday. And so don't freak out that we do this every week. But we're talking about the Holy Spirit, and we just want to do some different things, and we need to activate it. So here's what I'm praying. I am praying this week that the Holy Spirit treats you like a two-year-old. You ever had a two-year-old? Hey, what's this? You ever had a two-year-old just always asking 1,000 questions? I'm just going to pray the Holy Spirit is like a two-year-old. And he says, hey, what about them? Hey, why don't you pray for them? Hey, why don't you lift them in prayer? Why don't you speak up here? I just want him to keep working on you so that prompting in your heart becomes supernaturally normal. Does that make sense? That's what supernatural is. God says, I will do the super. You have to do the natural. And if you don't do the natural, he can't do the super. Let's pray and we're closing. Today, Lord, we love you. God, we thank you for this amazing church, for what you're doing. This afternoon, Lord, as our pastoral search committee meets, we ask that you would give us wisdom and knowledge as we're narrowing down the candidates. God, we ask that you would send us the right family to lead us into our future. We ask that the Holy Spirit would just be so active in this process. We don't want to lean into our own understanding, but in all of our ways, acknowledge that you're going to bring the right family to us. God, I pray for this great church family that this would be a week that's not like last week. That last week was ordinary. God, I pray that this week would be a supernatural week for every person in this room. We yield ourselves to you. We ask that you would use us in supernatural ways. In your name I pray. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Let me kind of give you kind of a quick, I said I know you're dismissed, but let me, one more thing. We have narrowed down the pastoral search committee to 6 individual families. This coming week, we begin a process of interviewing. We have interviews this week. We have interviews next week. Once we go through these people that we're interviewing, we're going to the group will meet again next Sunday, Sunday week after that, and we'll narrow it down again to our top 2 candidates. At that point in time, the church board will meet with those 2 candidates through Zoom. We'll narrow it down to 1 candidate. We'll invite that candidate to come throughout the week. If they've never been to Austin, if they've never been to our church, come throughout the week, meet with the board. And then if they are amiable and amenable to move forward, then we'll invite them to come on a Sunday. They will speak on that Sunday. We will vote. They will leave the room. We will vote on them. And if they get the vote, they will be our new pastor. And if not, then we'll start the process moving forward again with our next candidate. So this could happen as early as maybe the 2nd week of September. And so we're rapidly moving our process forward. And I'm excited about that. Not that I want to leave, but I'm just excited about what God has for our church in its future. So thank you. I will be glad to answer any questions. God bless you. Now you are dismissed.